I'll take my jacket off now. It's all too much.
Incidentally, the reason I'm wearing the suit is because we're going out afterwards.
Thought I'd make you know, let you know that. So, if you were in Siberia right now, we'd be chopping a hole in the ice and lowering you into a frozen lake till the water's over your head, and then getting you out quickly and running back to a house before you freeze solid. In some parts of India, I understand, I've never seen this, but I understand in some parts of India, they dig a hole that looks rather like a grave. They put a white cloth inside it, they'd wrap you in the white cloth, and they'd sprinkle water over you until it was soaked. It sounds like water torture, doesn't it? That the Americans... Shall I say that? Scrub that bit. And then they'd raise you from the grave, and there'd be great rejoicing at your new birth. In this country, if we live by the coast, it may well be that we'd go down to the sea. And I'm sure some of you will have seen that or experienced that. And Jan and I went on a camp a couple of years ago and joined with the church then, and in the sea with a whole crowd of people around listening to the equivalent of you telling your story. And that's great, isn't it? People get baptized in rivers, churches hire swimming pools, Mighton, our daughter church, hire a sheep dip and fill it with cold water. I think it's been washed. And fill it with cold water, man. And outside the building, they dunk you in it. Different ways to perform the same task, the baptism of a believer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And actually, within my memory, the two Baptist churches that I had association with, the candidate would be given a crimpline, remember that, crimpline gown to wear, from here, buttoned up here, right the way down to the ground. But you had to put pennies in the hem, because when you walked into the water, the whole thing would just float up like this. You're supposed to preserve your modesty, but like, unless you put the pennies in the hem, it didn't preserve your modesty. And here we are today, Saltersford Church, 2018, in a purpose-built baptistry, warmed by heaters overnight, wearing comfortable clothing. And I even went fishing this morning to get the crud out from the top for you. With the colander from the kitchen, by the way. So might need washing, somebody. Things have changed, but it's still the same event, and with the same meaning and purpose. The act of believers' baptism. And it doesn't matter where, or how old, or whatever, the church, we still get excited, don't we? And rejoice when someone comes to be baptized. It's only the second baptismal service we've had this year. First Sunday in 2018, anybody remember? The Saltons might remember. It was Lottie and Dominic. Was there anybody else on that day? I don't think there was it? But they brought all their friends, didn't they, from like everywhere. The place was huge with young people. And today, another young lady. So Katie call you that girl over there, man. Another young lady, Anne Riley. Because you see, it doesn't matter whether you're a young person or slightly more mature person. That age in that sense is not a factor. And why isn't it? Because this isn't infant baptism. It's believers' baptism. And on the screen, any minute it'll go, bing, believers' baptism. Because what we do as a church here, and what many churches do, like Baptist churches, for example, when the person being baptized is old enough to know for themselves that they want to follow Jesus for the rest of their lives, then they come and are baptized. And why do we do it this way? Well, because we believe it's the practice of the New Testament. And today, Anne, you follow in the footsteps, and they're all listed here in from the book of Acts, of 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, that birthday of the church. 3,000 people came to faith and were baptized on that day. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll see all of these. Some men and women were baptized in Acts chapter 8. And then following that, the Ethiopian eunuch, which I think we heard about a couple of weeks ago here, was baptized by Philip. Acts chapter 10, some Gentiles, Cornelius and his friends, come to faith and are baptized. Chapter 16, Lydia and her household are baptized. Again, further on in chapter 16, the Philippian jailer and later his household are baptized. Chapter 18, Crispus and some Corinthians come to faith and are baptized. And in chapter 19, some believers in Ephesus are baptized. See, wherever the apostles went, wherever the gospel was preached, wherever people are cut to the heart, as those first believers were on that day of Pentecost, cut to the heart by the good news of Jesus Christ, his self-sacrifice of a sinless Savior, the response is the same: to believe and be baptized, to repent and be baptized. This is the message of the New Testament. And there are no incidents of baptism in the book of Acts without faith first, which is why we call it believers' baptism. It's not adult baptism, it's believers' baptism. And this is why Anne gave her testimony just before, this story of her coming to faith. And we, the church at Saltersford, you and me, her brothers and sisters in Christ, have now heard of her faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, and so we baptise her gladly as a believer. Still, why do we do this? Why do we get dunked in the water? Well, Celia's, with the help of the children, already answered part of this. It was part one of the sermon. Oh, she's gone, because she's heard this bit, hasn't she? It's a symbol, isn't it? Baptism is a symbol. And the first thing it's a symbol of is a bath. Believer's baptism. The pool is like a bath. I've got some news for you here, because the news is that Anne is dirty and needs a wash. Is that right, Anne? You enjoy your bath, don't you? You told me the other day. You did, yeah. So Paul said to the crowd that were gathered at Jerusalem, the verses are on the screen, Acts 22, verse 16. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Now, of course, the wash on the outside only removes the surface dirt. It's hard to say as a Scouser, man, isn't it? Surface dirt. Hard, only removes the surface. How do you say surface? Surface. Surface. Thank you. And Anne's problem, though, is deeper than that. Her problem is on the inside. Now, when I was a kid, I can remember living in fear of this thing that my mum would promise me. If I'd been a bit cheeky or said the occasional rude word, and it was only occasional, I have to say, she would say, "Gonna wash your mouth out with soap and water." Anybody had that said to them? Yeah. You ever tried it? Man, it's not good, is it? It doesn't taste very good at all. And so the threat, you know, was almost sufficient for you not to be cheeky and not to be rude. Almost the threat was that much. But of course, it's an empty threat, isn't it? Because it's not our mouth that needs cleansing. It's the heart. It's the root of all our dirt is our sinfulness. That's what the Bible calls it. It's been well said, and you've heard it here before, I'm sure, that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. You've only got to watch the news every night, read your paper every day, to see that, you know, we live in a world where man's inhumanity to man is just so evident, isn't it? And most of it comes, doesn't it, from a selfishness, from a sinfulness within us. The Bible says we're all sinners. and fall short of the glory of God. And that sin cuts us off from a holy God. We're separated from him because of our sin. So we need a wash on the inside. And that's something we can't do. But God can. And the way he chose to do it was to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross and to take the blame for our sins. And the moment we believe, the moment we give our hearts to Christ, then as Paul says in Titus, he, that's God, saved us by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. When Anne believed, those years ago now, she was born again. And her heart was cleansed. And now as we baptize her, we see that symbolized on the outside. It's not this water that saves us. It's not this water that cleanses her. That's already happened on the inside. What we're doing today is catching up, if you like, on the outside with what's already happened on the inside. The pool is like a bath. The second thing is that the pool is like a grave. Sorry about the picture, Anne. Really, yeah. Because I've got some news for you, though. Because the person we've known as Anne Riley has died.
Annie!
And she needs to be buried. Not sure about that. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not sure about that. I'll try and explain what I mean. Paul uses these words. James. Thank you. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. He goes on to say, as we've been buried with Christ, so we're raised with Christ. So, by the way, once we've buried you, we will be raising you, okay? Just in case you were worried about that. Try and explain what Paul's getting at here. Because he loved us so much, let's get that straight, and we've sung about that this morning, haven't we? Because he loved us so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. Jesus sacrificed his life to take the blame for Anne's sins, for our sins. He died and was buried. And when he was buried, he took Anne's sins to the grave, and there they remain. And he rose, of course, and left them behind. Now, when Anne came to faith, she became united with Jesus Christ. Her old self died and is buried. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, so in this union with Christ, which is now hers, the new Anne Riley was born again. This born again version was raised to new life in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. And all this happened when she believed. And baptism signifies this. Later, she'll walk down into the grave, and we'll bury her, and we'll bring her back to life. Raised to new life. I think I've said this before, it sticks in my mind, but Juan Carlos Ortiz, in his book, Disciple, tells of how they do this in Argentina. And the pastor, the church, whoever it is who's doing the baptizing, will say, rather than I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he says, I kill you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And then raise. And then I raise you to life in Christ. So it's a bath. It's a grave. And thirdly, it's a changing room. It's like a changing room. It's a beautiful verse that Paul writes to the Galatians. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. It's another image, isn't it, of this before and after. The Bible says that before faith in Christ, in our sinful state, our clothes are filthy rags of unrighteousness. But on the cross and through our faith in Christ and his sacrifice, a great transaction takes place. Jesus Christ takes our filthy rags upon himself and takes them to the grave. And in exchange, he hands us his garment of righteousness. We're clothed in Christ's righteousness. See, Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, without spot or blemish. Jesus Christ, who never sinned, whose righteousness gleamed in the darkness of the world that he came to live in. He hands us his robe of righteousness that moment we come to faith. Anne and I met and talked about what she should wear today. Do this with everybody who gets baptized. My rules are simple. No dodgy logos on your t-shirts. No white tops for ladies, because they become see-through. And generally speaking, no heavy jeans, because it's hard work getting out of the water with heavy jeans on. And they're heavy when they get wet, of course. The fact is, Anne, today, when you come from this water, you'll be clothed in Christ's righteousness. It's amazing. It's already happened. We're symbolizing that now, of course. Again, went to Jan and I in a previous life, and I don't mean like I'm a Hindu or anything. I mean previous career, perhaps I should say. I went for a job down in Cambridgeshire, and it looked like I might get the job. So we went to look at houses, and on the Sunday we went to a local Baptist church. And in the kids' talk, the pastor offered the kids a choice between a pristine white shirt and another shirt that had been dipped in soil and oil and grease and you name it, you know, filthy. And he said, "So what do you want, boys and girls? This clean shirt or this dirty shirt?" At which point I thought, "I know where you're from." He couldn't help himself. He couldn't not say dirty shirt without giving away where he was from. But it's a great illustration, though, isn't it? You know, so what Christ does, he takes away that dirty shirt. I'll get you all to say it in a minute. That dirty shirt of unrighteousness and clothes us with the clean shirt of Christ's righteousness. Say dirty shirt for me.
Dirty shirt.
Wonderful, wonderful. Don't know why I told you that, but there you go. Like a changing room. And finally, this pool is like a filling station. Chapter 2, verse 38. It's Peter on that first, well, not on the first day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost when the church first was born, in the first sermon, at the first baptisms, on that first day of the church. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, on that day, the people believed and were baptized straight afterwards. So what happened on the inside and the symbolism of baptism really was all one event. Today, it's separated. Anne gave her life to the Lord 2008, 9, 5. So quite a few years ago. And the Holy Spirit was given to her then, on that day. The Holy Spirit came upon her. The Holy Spirit dwells within her. The Holy Spirit will never leave her. The Holy Spirit within her prompts her and guides her. The Holy Spirit within her reveals Scripture to her. The Holy Spirit within her helps her pray. The Holy Spirit within her is changing her bit by bit to become more like Jesus. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the description, isn't it, of Christ and his nature. And actually, it's good for us all to compare ourselves to this fruit, to see where the Lord needs to do some more work, perhaps. I talked with this through this with Anne, because I can see in Anne, I don't want to embarrass her too much, but I can see love in Anne. Now you're going to focus on the things I'm missing out, aren't you? But I can see peace in her heart. I can see patience in this lady. I know there's kindness and goodness in her heart and a faithfulness that sees her coming to church week by week and serving her Lord week by week. There's a gentleness about her. But I think Anne would say there's still some work to be done in some of those other areas. The fruit of the Spirit is changing her bit by bit. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, gives gifts as well. And we talked about this with Anne. And one of the gifts listed, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 12, speaks of the gift of helps. Anne has this gift in abundance, always willing to help others, alongside the gift of administration. So these things are already true. And today, when we baptize her, we will pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, that the work he's begun within her will continue until the day of completion when she sees her Saviour in the flesh. So these are the things that baptism symbolises: a cleansing from within, a union with Christ in his death and resurrection, about being clothed with Christ, and about being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we do the little study together before baptism, we think about those things. We think about what Anne is doing this morning. She's publicly confessing her faith. She's already done that. She's following Christ's example. Jesus Christ himself was baptized in the Jordan to fulfill all righteousness. You know, he didn't need to be baptized, did he? He was sinless. He didn't need washing from within. But he was baptized because it was the right thing to do, as an example to you and to me. She's obeying his command, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, you know, teaching them and baptizing them. She's promising to follow Jesus for the rest of her life. No little thing that she's doing today. Actually, I've got a photograph of her. And we rejoice with you today. And we promise to walk with you as your brothers and sisters in Christ, even as you promise to walk with Christ today. Today's about Anne, isn't it, in lots of ways. But, you know, it's about all of us as well. Because some of us here perhaps have not made that first step of giving our lives to the Lord. And it may be that today is that day when you'd like to do that, just as Anne did in 2005. Because of the people at the well, somebody said to her, "Would you like to give your life to Christ?" And she said, "Yes." And so I asked that question today of you, perhaps. Would you like to give your life to Christ? Maybe that's you. Please come and speak to me afterwards. Others of you perhaps have done that, but haven't yet been baptized. And I'd say to you, you know, here's water. What stops you? I promise we'll have another service in the new year. Plenty of time, therefore, to go through this wonderful study about baptism and be prepared for our next service of baptism. And then the rest of us, do you know, maybe baptized. Well, for me, it's what? 45 years ago, I was baptized. Makes me feel old. 45 years ago. And yet every time we do this, I'm reminded of those promises I made to follow Jesus all my life. And, you know, that's it, isn't it? For a lot of us, you know, we make those promises then, and perhaps we've wavered, perhaps we've stumbled, perhaps we've fallen, you know, and yet here's an opportunity for us all in these next moments to recommit our lives to Christ, even as we pray for Anne. Let's pray. And maybe in the quietness of your heart, if you want to respond to what the Lord's been saying to us, either in the songs we've sung, the prayers we've prayed, the word that we've heard, if you're feeling cut to the heart, as those first believers were, you just need to acknowledge that before the Lord. And to offer your life to him. Perhaps for the first time. Perhaps with a view to baptism in the future. Perhaps for the umpteenth time. But today it will be as fresh as ever. Lord, here we are, Lord, at this joyous occasion. Celebrating with Anne in this day of baptism. And yet, Lord, before you today, Lord, each of us stands and needs to make some sort of response to you again and afresh. Lord, please hear the thoughts of our hearts. You know, Lord, every thought, you know every heart. Lord, draw us to yourself, we pray. Give us the strength, Lord, to follow you and to serve you as you deserve and as you demand. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.